Pubcast.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Like, we're having pictures, thoughts, and feelings come into our mind, but it feels really stupid, like we're making stuff up. And so there's an aspect of just letting go of that judgment and just being willing to go into places that are very strange.
Welcome to the Liberated Healer Podcast, where we touch on a variety of topics in the world of spirituality, energetic healing, and everything in between and beyond. Take an adventure on a shooting star with your host, Gina, offering their wisdom, guidance, and everlasting love and support.
Hi, this is Gina Cavalier. This is Liberated Healer Podcast. And today I have Shelly Kerr on, Dr. Shelly Kerr. Thank you and welcome.
Gina, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So you've written over 20 books. So I was looking at your list. It's pretty incredible. You have a new book coming out, Past Lives in Ancient Lands and Other Worlds, on October 8th, 2022. And that's what we're here to talk about today and a little bit about your background into past lives.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a super exciting topic. So you're a world-renowned past life regressionist. Your method of combining energy work with hypnosis has been endorsed by numerous leaders in the field of consciousness, including near-death experience pioneer Dr. Raymond Moody and Dr. Brian Weiss, which he got me on my path. So you've been prominently featured in a lot of different media, coast to coast, and thank you for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me, Gina. It's great to be with you.
So can you just give our listeners a little bit of information about your journey to this book and how you got on this path?
Yes, it really was started in childhood, really. I lived in Colorado Springs at the time. And back in the 70s, there was a really famous book called The Search for Brandy Murphy, which you may have heard of and listeners and viewers might have heard of as well. It was about this woman who had really bad allergies. She, like many people, went to all the traditional means, you know, medically, and nothing was helping. So she went to a hypnotherapist and was told to go back to the source event of these allergies. And so she went back into this life in Ireland, where she relayed all these details about this village. And so we lived in Colorado Springs, and the hypnotherapist and the woman who was the subject of that book lived near where we lived. And so my mother met them at a luncheon, bought the book and brought it home. And so I don't know what other people were doing when they were a kid, you know, but we were sitting around the family dinner table talking about reincarnation and past lives. And there was just something about that that just struck me and it felt real to me. And then as an adult, I had a friend who was killed in an accident. And after many, many years of suffering grief from this situation, somebody said, well, you should go have a past life regression. And so I did. And I realized that we had known each other in many lifetimes. And after, again, searching, just like a lot of people search for different, you know, relief and remedies for different things that are going on with them, the regression just really helped me say, you know what, I'm done with this. I feel better about it. I can move on now. And so then I started looking into doing that for other people. And so this new book is really, I've been doing past life regression professionally for over 20 years. Dr. Weiss used to send me some of his overflow business when he stopped doing private sessions. And so just been doing it for a very, very long time. I wrote my first book on this in 2003 that Dr. Weiss had endorsed and have been just working with clients. And so this is the first time, though, in past lives and ancient lands and other worlds, that I'm really just putting out a lot of the different kinds of cases that I've seen over the years that I have never written about in any of my other books so far.
I can't wait to get into them. And because the book isn't out yet, I am just getting a preview copy. So I feel very unlucky for that. And what a blessing that you got to come in this life with a family that had that pre-understanding, you know, and not saying that, you know, your path wouldn't have still found this way towards you, but, you know, to be able to, at a very early age, like, let that open up and in this kind way, and it put you on the path so early, which is really fascinating. Yes, death can really shake us. And I also like that part of your story where this kind of really just like pushed you hardcore into needing to find this answer and some resolve with your soul right now. So thank you for divulging that a little bit. So what was your journey with the past life regression, like the studying, or, you know, how did you kind of get into your swing of things to feel like confident to where you could take clients through this whole journey?
It's such a multidimensional story. That's why I have so many books. I have another book that just came out in July called Journeys Through the Akashic Records, where I talk about, in addition to what I've already described, I had in 2000, I had traveled to Egypt and I had a near-death experience when I came back from that, not through any like accident or anything, but I just started really hearing the inner voice and somebody just told me, there's something wrong with your heart. You're not going to live much longer. And I just felt myself get out of my body and I went into a space with some light beings. It was all very cerebral and, you know, nonverbal. And when I came out of that space, I started just running energy through my body. I didn't know anything about any of this on that level. So I went on a very long journey to take Reiki and other things because I didn't even know what that even was at that time. And I was kind of shown things, or I just had a knowing of things that were really outside of my then life experience. I was just a salesperson. I was just, you know, in my 30s, I was a salesperson at that time. I was shown kind of like that, like, if I take you through a past life regression, we're going to talk about your past lives. That's one thing. But there's also energetic, you know, thoughts that are stuck in the energetic field around a person and within a person. So if I'm talking to you, I'm just saying, for example, let's say you had a life in the Middle Ages or somebody out there did, there's we could talk about that, but there's also an energetic component. So that needs to be addressed at both levels. And I ended up creating some healing modalities and different things like that from the things that I was shown in that very strange space. And so I started going into taking all the classes that I could take. I was taking Reiki. I signed up for psychology classes. I was going to become a psychiatrist at first, I thought, but I had to take a statistics class. And that just kind of really rubbed me the wrong way because I was thinking, okay, there's things that I've been through that cannot be explained in logical means. And so I found this other path to go get this alternative healing doctorate. So through the journey of taking just different classes, I started working with other people and was pretty early on. I mean, I'm trained to do the typical hypnosis stuff, but I've never done that. I was just always shown a very effective way. The subject of that very first book I put out in 2003, I've really not changed my ways much at all over the last 20 something years that I've been doing this. Just to kind of, my process is kind of helpful in, and again, in all my books, I have processes so readers can do them. But the way I write them is so that if you're not a visual person, because a lot of people are not visual people. I was not visual. You know, not everybody sees a little technicolored unicorn galloping across the horizon. You know, some of us have feelings or some of us hear an inner voice, you know, so I try to speak to all of those ways. And so it's been pretty helpful for helping people actually access those memories of the past and then coming to some kind of understanding about what lessons did I learn back there? How am I applying the things to what I'm doing now? Because that's the only reason, as you know, why we do this in the first place is to try to make this situation, this current life, you know, more helpful and effective. That's really the only reason why we would want to do it.
So just to go back, since you opened up with the story of your heart, was there a past life connection to that issue?
Yes, it had to do with this friend who had passed away in not the book we're talking about, with the journey through the Akashic Records. I do give that journey where we do like a soul retrieval where you take back what belongs to you from other people. And I found this so many times with clients. We've given our heart away to someone. And so then that can start to cause flutterings like on the physical realm in real life. So taking the heart back, giving back things that are not ours anymore on a spiritual level can really start to create shifts in the physical world. So in the case of the near-death experience, I did go to the hospital. They could see there was something wrong. But after hooking me up to machines for 24 hours, they just let me go the next morning and said, well, I guess it's a virus. And then they didn't really know what was wrong with it. And then I ended up having this soul retrieval that really put me back together.
Yeah. So for example, obviously, what are some of the things that the past life regression can help people with? Obviously, you know, it's recognizing patterns, or like you said, getting your energy back from, you know, maybe you have a certain relationship and seeing the relationship, you've done this 5 times. Why are you repeating this? So can we just go into a little bit of how some of the areas that past life regression can really help someone?
Sure. I want to make it ridiculously simple. I really think there's only 3 main areas, and that would be love and relationships, which, I mean, I'm sure none of your viewers have any problem, but I certainly have. You know, we all have challenges with our relationships, whether it's our significant other or family, et cetera, friendships and different things that go on in our lives. Then there's health. I mean, sometimes it can remedy health challenges. And then, of course, you could call it money, love, health, and money, or we could call it the umbrella of security, like letting go of fears and phobias. How do I feel safe in the world and know that I have enough and things like that, those kinds of issues. And so, like you mentioned a minute ago, when we do go back into the past, like when people go on the journey, they need to set the intention. What is it I'm wanting to find out when I go there? We could ask for highest good, but let's say it's a relationship issue. So now we're going to go back into times long ago when this relationship, let's say, was a challenge, or to give us the best information about what that relationship was like, because maybe it was a wonderful relationship. And then we start to, like you said, identify the patterns. Okay, so what were we doing back then that we may or may not be doing now? And if it's working for us, then let's do more of it. And if it's not working for us, then how can we heal and release and let go of things that are not serving us anymore so that we can move forward in our current life?
Yeah. And obviously, I think in that third category, still kind of also sum that up like a life path. Sometimes people just have kind of lost their way, and they, because they were maybe born in a subset that didn't resonate with them, and they don't understand their life path. And,
right.
You know, I think that that's where a lot of people that I know, they get really lost, because all of a sudden they started a job maybe that their dad had, and then they, you know, they just kind of were following, and it just doesn't resonate, but they have this emptiness of where to go next.
Definitely. That's a big one. Like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And like you said, if I'm doing things that are not resonant, then how can we access maybe times in the past when we did do things that were part of our soul gifts, and remember what those things were so that we can bring those ideas forward in the present as well.
Yeah. And it's having people like you that can guide someone through this experience is just so important. We really can't do this on our own, and we don't want to do this on our own. You know, this is about community and tribe, and you got this special skill and passion and knowledge, and you can help the people around you, which is, we're all one, you know, help find that thing in them to put them on the right path. I mean, it's such a gift to be able to do that, because that's a lot where I feel like people are suffering, you know, the lost feeling, the hopelessness feeling. You know, this is the reason why, you know, there's just the bottom barrel of the worst of the worst, like suicide and things like that, is literally hopelessness. And sometimes, like you said, that you had that deep grief, and now you got to see the things that you needed to see to release that, you can move on to the next thing in life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's what you're saying. It is really sad to see so many people feeling hopeless. And I know the pandemic didn't help, obviously. You know, I feel like during that period, for example, I have been through very hard times in my past. So, and I've overcome them. And so I feel like I was in a pretty reasonable space during that time. But my heart goes out to people. There's always hope, as you know. I mean, when you feel like you can't go on, you know, that next wonderful thing is just around the corner. You can't see it yet, but it's on its way. And I think just any kind of mindfulness and guided imagery that helps pull us into a different perspective about the reality that we're currently entrenched in can be super, super helpful in that. So my heart and my prayers just go out to everybody. And I just want to say, please just hang on. You just have no idea what's coming. And I think that sometimes when we go through really hard times, you know, later we're going to find out, wait a minute, that's part of our gift that we could be using to help somebody else, you know, if we can hang in there.
Yeah, because life is just not easy. And the not easy points, there's little messages in there about how to find that path in your friends and partnerships and all that stuff. But you kind of have to go through the muck. And so, you know, it, nobody is immune to it either. So sometimes I feel like that helps, because if you see a bunch of other people that seem like they have this great life and set up, you know, and then you're doing the comparison energy, you know, that, and that's sort of popular now just a lot because, you know, social media has been great for some things, but for the comparison factor, I think it has been a little bit hard on some people. So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I don't know why I was feeling that with you, that you might have a message of hope for some of those people that are feeling that. And somebody said this one thing to me, I don't know why I'm going to say this right now, just recently, it was a channel from my guides, and they said, "You are so brave." And that word brave just brought tears to my eyes. So somebody else outside of myself was a part of myself. But hearing that we're brave is, I don't know, it just resonated, that word resonated with me so much. And you are brave to go in to do a past life regression. You know what I mean? Because, right, you don't know what you're going to find, but usually there's solace and answers and I don't know.
I think there's a real, I want to say two things first. Okay, let me say what I was thinking a minute ago about social media. Please don't get me going. I've never been a fan of social media. I know that it's great to hook up with people you didn't talk to since junior high or whatever, but you know, people should never compare themselves to anyone, because listeners and viewers out there, I mean, there's nobody like you. You are one in a bazillion, bazillion, bazillion. To the bazillionth degree. There's never, ever been anyone else like you. There never will be anyone else like you. And even if you can't see it right now, I mean, there's a reason why you're here. I mean, that's it. You cannot compare yourself. And you are so right. I mean, I have thought of this myself. It's so easy for us to look on TV or whatever, or seeing social media, Instagram, whatever, and go, wow, they really got their stuff together. Look at those beautiful clothes. Look how wonderful they are. But you just don't know what's going on behind all that. Everybody has troubles. Everybody has difficulty in this life. And we, you know, some people just wear it. If they, let's say they have a physical challenge, it's really easy for us all to see it. But sometimes you can see this beautiful facade and you have no idea what's going on under the surface. So it's a really great point you make. And then regarding, you know, just bravery or non-bravery, I mean, I think people just get to a point where they tried everything else. Nothing else is working. You just got to give it a shot. I do think there's a vulnerability to going through guided imagery and saying to yourself that there's a creative aspect that we tap into when we do that. Like, we're having pictures, thoughts, and feelings come into our mind, but it feels really stupid, like we're making stuff up. And so there's an aspect of just letting go of that judgment and just being willing to go into places that are very strange. And, you know, people always ask me, like, is this real? How do I prove past lives? I mean, I'm not the creator. I'm not God. So I don't know they're real. But I'm really into this idea that if you can tell yourself a different story that helps you explain the difficulty that you're currently having, and then that helps you release the negative energy that you're holding so that you can feel more peaceful, then, you know, there's no way to prove whether it's real or not. But as long as you feel better about it, then that is what matters. And, you know, we could call it brave, or we could call it just giving ourselves permission to access the more childlike, imaginative, playful aspect of ourselves so that we can speak to that younger self of ours who wants to be free and playful and who just is open to different possibilities. And just knowing that, yeah, things can get better no matter how hard they are. I mean, you know, there's always hope.
So let's get into the crux of past lives. You know, I'm just going to ask the questions that are usually on everybody's mind, you know, just kind of start down. So is there anybody who you've ever found that didn't have a past life, that this was their first life? You know, are there thousands and thousands? Is it hundreds and hundreds? Does it matter if there's hundreds and hundreds? You know, just a little bit of kind of like your top level past life stuff.
There's certainly people who think they want to have a regression. Normally people want to have a regression or they wouldn't be contacting me, but they may then in that space determine that they've never had past lives. And so they're not, you know, they'll maybe regress back to something earlier in childhood and do some healing around that. There are other people I've met who say, yes, they've had this life, but they also had only one more other than this one. Normally, because they're focusing on an issue, they might visit three or four different past lives. And then I've had people who say they've had hundreds of past lives. So I think it just varies. I think it depends on, you know, where the person's at, what their mentality is, and what they're attempting to resolve through the process.
So for example, if, you know, let's talk about soul families then. So that's probably a big topic too.
Definitely. I definitely believe we've come around here. We've gone around the block a few times with the people who are currently in our lives. That could be our closest friends, obviously our immediate family. You know, they love to push our buttons, friends. Guess what? They're here to teach us lessons. And so they come back in that we should think of it as the most loving way to help us learn those lessons. And I do believe we travel in soul groups. And so sometimes that definitely can come up in a regression process, finding out why are we here? What lives did we have before? What, again, were those patterns that we had? And how can we make the most out of this so that we're getting either the contract that we've agreed to, or we're helping each other to learn the lessons that we've come here to learn?
And that can bring such an overwhelming sense of forgiveness. I've had a lot of people, when they've learned some parts of my story, it's like, how can you forgive that person? It's like, oh my God, I'm so grateful. I love them. They taught me the biggest gifts in the world by that experience. And now that I got to have forgiveness for it and I'm not carrying it anymore, but that experience made me who I am today. And so that's a part of, I think, past life regression, is that you're able to see that person in a different light now and the relationship. Maybe you were the jerk last time, right? Or this time, but you know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. You realize, okay, sometimes those roles were reversed. That definitely can come up during a past life regression, and you can go, wow, okay, well, I guess it is what it is. So let's just forgive everybody and move forward. Or there could be patterns where, you know, we're always playing that person who's getting hurt. And so then can we release that and just say, God bless you, you know, have a great life, but I'm not going to see you next time. You know, there's all kinds of things that can go on in that realm. Definitely.
Do you kind of lean into archetypes and things like that? Or is that not part of what you focus on?
I do, in the sense that, like in my first book, I was talking about, I had regressed 5 or 6 Cleopatras here in Dallas, Texas. I mean, how is that even possible? So then obviously we're not all Cleopatra. So we must be getting into some archetypal energy. So that certainly is possible as well. But like I mentioned before, I'm not here to judge like whether they really were that person or not. If they can go there and say, this is what I was doing and this is how it's affecting me now and how I'm going to change as a result of it to make my life better, then I'm happy with it.
Well, it also sounds like possibly that, like you said, it could be the energy of, you know, exactly, more that exact person. But I think sometimes when you're using visualizations, you'll get the energy of the situation You know what I mean? Instead of the actual situation. So that's potentially, right?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. So what about when, you know, someone's has a very traumatic past life? I mean, I've done past, when I do my readings, I usually do two past lives. Just I look at a rose and I ask about a past life that wants to come up, and then usually it will be brief and I'll just get right to the core of it, kind of like, but sometimes some of them will come up and usually they're somewhat pleasant. You know, life was hard, you know, especially beginning of times, you know what I mean? We were all kind of, you know, we didn't have technology or tools like we had, and we had to fight for our lives and our food every day. Like life was a little bit different back then, right? So those are easy to, when they come up, to remind people, like, this is to remind you of, you know, the strength, your inner strength. But what about when something is like a really heavy past life, almost like, you know, just a super darkness that they experience? So they experience that in the regression, the actual physical emotions, and then you have to deal with that?
They sometimes do. I still believe that whatever comes up during the regression, because the difference would be like, if you give a reading, then you're guiding them through it. And then they experience it also as you're telling them. Here, they're just going into the space, and then this memory is going to emerge. And so when they do that, most of the time it's fairly pleasant, and most of the time it's very detached because they're kind of not really in it so deeply. They can kind of view it from a different perspective and go, okay, well, this is how I died, or this is what happened. But sometimes, depending on the person, they can really go into those spaces and they will really start to cry or emote. And so I still believe, though, that however they experience it is meant to be. So sometimes we really do need to cry. We really need to let those things go. And so in cases where we need to do forgiveness with others, we can bring that other individual out and we can have conversations with them and, you know, say, hey, is it okay to forgive this person, and or can they forgive you? And again, do kind of some cord cutting, some soul retrieval stuff, and help to get those emotions resolved. But I do think that if crying comes up, that's actually a good thing. And it can be really, really liberating and healing for people, depending on the situation.
Yeah, it's like a giant release.
Yeah, big time.
You know, when I meet people and they say, I'd never cry. Like, I think I've only seen my mother cry once. And that's always so interesting to me, that there's got to be something there that needs to be released. Okay, so you have so many fascinating sections in your book. Can you tell us a little bit about the ancient world that you want to lean into today with us?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, there's so many interesting ones. You mentioned earlier, like, people who are very, very early. So there's a section in there about the prehistory hunter-gatherers. And you're exactly right about what you mentioned before. So these are a lot of case histories about people who sometimes they're struggling to survive. Obviously, they're just eking out an existence in the time when there's nothing in existence. So sometimes those lives can be connected to if they're having like a prosperity issue, or they have to, like you said earlier, which is so true, they're establishing the fact that they really did survive. They have this inner strength. And so those really basic things of, you know, the base of the pyramid, I've got to survive, I need food, I need shelter. And so if they're having any kind of issues around that, those very early lives can be accessed. This book includes some Mesopotamian case histories, which I've never written about before. I do a lot of ancient Egypt. I'm really interested in that. I've had a lot of people over the years, because of some of the other books I've written, who believe they lived in ancient Egypt. And of course, as a society, we have a lot of fascination with that. So I believe that when we have fascination with different things that we see in culture and media, like if we're watching a show or we go to the museum exhibit, you know, I had written another book about spontaneous past life memories that emerge when we're in museums and things. So we can have this little tingling in the brain, and that's starting to give us a clue about the areas that potentially we lived in. And so lots of reincarnated Egyptians right now. Of course, we have to talk about Greece and Rome. And so there's a lot of fun things depending on what strikes people. I'm hoping when people read about different periods in history, what I'm asking the reader to do is to start just paying attention, you know, what's making me go doing, you know, lighting up my neurology and making me feel interested, because that's the soul giving you a clue that maybe there's something more to look into. So hopefully there's something here for just about everybody.
Yeah, I wonder if the Egypt just had such a, same with me when I had done readings for people, you know, I was in Southern California doing a healing on someone, and I saw a past life in the healing I was doing, and a scarab beetle just came out right in front of us. I mean, we're in Southern California, we just all looked at each other like, this sounds weird, but that was a ding moment, you know, just like it was confirming for us that what we were visualizing. And I'm just wondering why a lot of people, it just, maybe because they were so heavy in the spirituality section and it was such a poignant time, but you have to read it in your book maybe to find out like all the different points. But I agree. Egypt has a huge spiritual thing that feels like we were all a little bit connected to very strangely.
Yeah, I really think a lot of us were. A lot of the people I regress, they remember their times in like ancient healing temples. So there's those regressions. In the book, I go into more historical periods like the Old Kingdom, the Middle Kingdom, and I picking through some of the many case histories from those different periods. Like one, some of the interesting ones were from, and now, of course, I'm not going to remember what it's called, but there's an artist community of artisans who live above the Valley of the Kings. And so there was a lot of case histories from that period where people were describing their lives as artisans and things like that. That's that the ruins of this place, which now escapes my mind in terms of what it's called. Google it or write me and I'll tell you with
this
program. But it has a very complicated, I think I write things and then I don't know even how to say them. It's Derjal something.
But yeah.
It's a whole community of artisans who their job was to craft the little funerary items that would go into the pharaoh's tomb and stuff like that. And so there's some case histories from those people. But as a general rule, because of some of the other healing books I've written, I do have a ton of people who remember their times in healing temples. I've regressed people who believe they were, you know, accompanied by Anubis and they were doing embalming and mummification processes to various and vast healing temple rituals and things like that. So that's a lot of the people I get. So I used to live in California too, so that's always a fun place because everybody, they're super open-minded to all this stuff.
So what about, do you speak of anything about Lemuria or also Atlantis in?
Yes.
Is like that, yes.
In the next part of the book, we go into ancient lands and other worlds. So we go into Lemuria, which I love. I've written several books for the Edgar Cayce Foundation. So that's how Lemuria came into my awareness many years ago. I wrote about, I was like the first person who wrote a book about the Lemurian seed crystals, which are those crystals that are embedded with this Lemurian consciousness. So some of my regressions then come from those clientele who I've known for many years, where we go into spaces that Edgar Cayce, for viewers and listeners, he was the most documented psychic of the 20th century who would go to sleep and tell people about their past lives. But he spoke about a time when all of us were non-corporeal, like we didn't have bodies. We were just floating around as love. And so I have a lot of clients who do regress into these spaces where they're going all the way back to source, where they're just part of a loving consciousness. And I feel like that's really healing. Like if people are really struggling, like what you were talking about earlier, like they're depressed, they don't know if there's any hope, they feel disconnected. They sometimes will go back into those memories because it helps them to infuse with a really deep loving energy that can be super, super healing. And then some have described lives in Lemuria as a very high frequency consciousness of loving beings. And then, of course, yes, in another chapter, I go all into the various periods of Atlantis, the early period, the healing period, and then many, many case histories about people who believe they were there during the final destruction of Atlantis. And so we get into that whole discussion as well. And then I've got some case histories from people who describe these places. They say, well, nobody knows about this place anymore. And so I'm questioning, you know, is that from Atlantis or not? We don't know because, you know, now we have ground penetrating radar, we've got drones, and we've got all this technology, and we're discovering as you know, new civilizations every single day, many of which could have been Atlantis, or they could have been something comparable to an Atlantis. And so I think as we go on, we're going to need to throw the history books out and start coming into, you know, more understanding of just exactly how ancient this, you know, habitation on this planet actually is. It's far more than what we've been taught in school, let's just say.
Oh, absolutely. And I just when you see how vast it is, and that you're what you are incarnated at this moment, it does help to see that you are just so special to hold this light inside of you, that this thing that is inside of us that keeps us going. You know, when people say they've seen people pass and then the soul has just left the body, and then the body just becomes like matter and there's nothing left. They said it's just instantly, like it's just like there's nothing left in there, but that soul is still alive and moving. And when that is the most valuable thing we own, is this soul. And I think that each individual soul is 100% unique. And what I mean is, if you were to close your eyes and really say, what does my soul look like? And you get like an image, that's the image I think that you personally really are. And so when you really get to see how wonderful and special and unique that is, then that helps take you out of all the esoteric things and the bombardment, the marketing, the pressures, the programming, the comparison energy, the resentments. It really does kind of go poof, because it's like seems so small to this beautiful soul.
I completely and totally agree with everything you're saying. You're exactly right. I mean, there's something beyond the physical body. We're just here in this weird meat suit. We're having an experience. We're trying to learn. We're trying to, you know, be one with other people. And yet we go on from here. We can't be destroyed. And it's a really great understanding.
I had an idea and I wanted to see what you thought about it. Because I don't know where it came from. I feel like our soul has a name that is very unique to our soul. And it's, so like when we get, say, incarnated, like I'm Gina in this life. And then maybe this life I had another name, and this life I had another name. But our soul has sort of like a name, but it's an energy. So it's, you can't really even formulate it into words.
I think that's possible. Yeah. You know, I did transcendental meditation. So they speak something into your ear, you know, and you're never to speak it again, but you say it as a mantra to yourself. And there's something about the way the teacher assigns you this special internal sound that's supposed to be for you. That's obviously still being done though on the material plane, but there's something very resonant about that. And it wouldn't be surprising if we had some soul name. I could see that. Definitely.
And the reason why I bring that up is I was thinking about Eckhart Tolle for a while, because I think his original name was Ulrich. And as soon as he became enlightened or into his others, he's like, that name doesn't resonate with me. And my real name is this. So I just think that that's interesting too, because again, it brings us back down to that, you know, that there's just so much more out there.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And I do think, you know, there's that theory that we chose our names even in this current lifetime, you know, and some of us are going, well, that was a weird name. I wouldn't have chose that. But, you know, nobody can even spell my last name. But okay, you know, maybe I did. On a soul level, I still think we do maybe pick some of these things out. I don't know. But like you said, maybe it doesn't resonate at a certain point, because as we're going through life, it's just we're changing and growing and learning and experiencing. I could definitely see that.
So what else do you think it would be like a poignant thing to talk about with the individual's past life regression in maybe one of your sessions?
Definitely the soul purpose. Sometimes also I was doing a process that's also described in this book where we go out into the future. Like we can actually go out into future memories of things that have not yet happened to us in this current life. And so the purpose for that would be, theoretically, most people, I mean, some are just curious, but most people seek a regression because they're having a challenge or a problem. So we want to look at the past, see where that came from, resolve some things. And then when we go out into the future, you can go out and access, you know, where you're happy, where you're healthy, where you're putting all these great things together, and where these troubles of the past are just no longer a challenge for you anymore. Because I still believe the future is up for grabs. We have unlimited possibilities. So let's go out to the happy place and really tune into the feeling of what that feels like to be happy and we're healthy and we're actually, you know, living our soul purpose and things are working out. We're no longer burdened by the things that we've potentially resolved. And so then people can start to understand, because they're already in a future place. I'll say, well, okay, well, what was the first step that you took? And they'll go, well, I read the book. And then what did you do? Well, I went to the seminar and then I met some new friends and then I did this, this, and this. And they can start to carve the path, because when anybody comes out of a session, usually they'll go, wow, that was interesting. But if they really believe in the possibility of healing and change and feeling peaceful, then they can start to understand if they just take these steps toward that new reality, then it can start to unfold in the future.
And you take little baby steps and kind of even say out loud, like, I'm looking for a new teacher, or, you know, I'm looking for a new way to make myself feel better. And then all of a sudden you're just driving around and you see a billboard. It's like, go running today, or, you know,
yes,
it's connecting to, you're realizing that you are kind of all connected. And when you are asking for these things, they'll find a way to get to you. And I'm wondering, do you see work or talk about guides, whether they're the person's spirit guides, you know, or angels or anything like that?
Yeah, since the very beginning, I've always had people connect with a guide. The process, really, we take people through relaxation, walk through the door, and then they're going to meet with a guide, an angel or a guide. Many years ago, I would say that most people would identify this loving presence as an angel. Now, more people are talking about this being a guide or a being of light. But this angel guide or being, however you want to call it, they will appear in this initial space before people go on the journey. And the idea is that this is a guide or a being who loves you unconditionally, who has known your soul since the beginning of time, who knows you better than you even know yourself, and who really has your back as you're just going on this journey. So the guide really serves many purposes. Again, just to have a friend who's with you, someone who loves you, feeling that support. But also when we get into this idea that not everyone is visual, you know, so sometimes the guide can tell us things. The guide accompanies us on that journey and can show us things or just be very, very helpful in helping us to, you know, understand the imagery that's coming through. Can be very helpful.
So you must have a lot of people who, like, you were, like, you initially were talking about you were stuck in some. So do you have a lot of people coming to you who, you know, your focus is past life regression, among other things, but that want to figure out a way to relieve, like, if they lost someone?
It's interesting, because whatever you're going through, that's who you attract, right? So in the beginning of my career, yes, it was a lot of people going through grief recovery. And over the years, it's just turned into different things, because I really did, you know, move past that. So I started getting into a phase of giving people business ideas and just different things. So, and now I do think the soul purpose thing, as you've already mentioned, I think that's really in the consciousness right now. I think a lot of people are really becoming aware. They're like you mentioned earlier, they're maybe working in a job they weren't thinking about. And all of a sudden they're going, man, you know what? I really don't like this. This isn't what I want. And I think there's kind of an awakening happening in a broader level. And so that's really a lot of it, is people wanting to understand their unique purpose and what they should be doing. Or I don't really believe in should, right? I mean, just, you know, shoulding on ourselves, but, you know, what would make them happy? What would make them feel like they were doing what they are here to do, et cetera? I think that's important for everybody.
And, you know, obviously the earth is going through its own transitions, and, you know, all the things that happened recently, you know, I just couldn't help but look at it as some kind of an awakening, just waking, shaking us up, you know, shaking the leaves from the trees, waking us up a little bit, and, you know, realizing, how do we want to spend our days, and is there a way that we can do it better, and how can we you know, I keep going to the word community and tribe, and this whole reason why I built the Liberated Healer podcast. So I just really thank you for being a part of a tribe. But I want a couple more things. I want to ask you about some of the exercises in your book and how they work.
Yeah, I've got some really interesting exercises in this book. One of the things I'm trying to do in every chapter, at the end of the chapter, there are guided imagery exercises. So the, for example, in the hunter-gatherer, or I think it's in Mesopotamia, there's hunter-gatherer has some survival exercises, like how are we going to let go of fear? And then in the Mesopotamian chapter, I have people imagine that they could go back to past lives as farmers. And so these exercises are really designed to help just, you're just immediately breaking through the barrier that we might put up for ourselves. Like, did I even have a past life or not? If you end up going on these journeys and you access information, it's just going to bring those past life memories up very quickly and automatically, because I really believe that, you know, all of this information is just stored within the self. We go into healing temples, we meet with druids. I mean, there's just all kinds of really interesting exercises in the first part of the books. And then when we get into the section on other worlds, I had written a book that came out in 2005 on parallel universes. And so there's a lot of those types of journeys where we're going to go into critical decision points. We definitely go into future memories where you can go access that happy place that I mentioned a minute ago. And then for those who are interested in extraterrestrials, do you want to know if you've ever known any? Great. You know, there's exercises about that too. So a lot of interesting things to explore. And then at the very end of the book, I show you through the process of journaling and looking again at what is interesting you, either what is for your highest good, or do you want to go ahead now and explore that past life in Egypt? Then you set that intention and you can take a really, really long past life regression there at the very end of the book and get answers.
Well, okay. That sounds like a lot of fun. A lot of work, but a lot of fun work. I mean, and I love Llewellyn Publications. They've been a really great partner of mine. So I want to always shout out to Kat and Marcus and the whole team over there.
Yes.
They really do great work.
Yeah, I love Llewellyn. They're amazing. They've been my publishing partner for several years now, and I love them. And I was always a fan of all their books. I mean, I've been reading their books for years and years, so they've got some really good ones.
We got some really great quality people and product out there. So I want to say thank you again. And how can people reach out to you for some more information?
Yeah, my website is pastlifelady.com.
Well, that makes it easy.
Yeah, I thought, hey, who's here? It's spelled on my name. So pastlifelady.com.
And if you guys want, please go to the YouTube channel and see what Shelly looks like, because she definitely has a doppelganger that I'm trying to figure out. And to help me figure out who that is, it's an actor.
Oh, okay. I'll let me know when you know, because some people do tell me that.
Yeah, it's freaking me out. I'm going to have to figure that out.
There are two people they tell me, the names of whom they tell me a lot that I look like. So,
do you think that there's like doppelgangers, past life things that's crossing?
In my parallel universe book, I did have a client who said that she went to a restaurant and gazed over across the restaurant, and she saw her and her husband eating on the other side of the restaurant, only they were a little bit different than who they were. And she claims she saw them over there. I suppose it's possible. They claim that you can't be in the same space with your doppelganger, so she did not interact with that aspect of herself. So I don't know. It's science fiction stuff, but you know, that stuff comes from somewhere.
It's
possible.
It's really cool. Well, I would love to have you again on, and we wish you much luck on your book coming out on October 8th. And thank you for all your advice and kindness today. And we will link everything on the bottom so people can find it. It's Past Life and Ancient Time, Ancient Lands and Other Worlds. And we wish you the best on it. Thank you for your time today and your love and energy and support.
Thank you so much, Gina. It's a great show, and many, many blessings to you.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can find us online at theliberatedhealer.com, on Instagram at Liberated Healer Podcast, or on Facebook at The Liberated Healer. Give us a follow, subscribe, send us a message if you so feel, and thank you for your support.
Outcast.